Tonight on Frontline, the average American family has 8.
0% for life on transfer balances.
Credit cards, plastic money, have become both a necessity and a ticket to a better life.
Hawaii! Yes!
A credit card is an extraordinary, unbelievably great convenience for the consumer.
But the credit card industry plays by its own rules.
I don't know any merchant in America who can change the price after you've bought the item, except a credit card company.
Credit card banks earn record profits.
MBNA's profits last year, 1.5 times that of McDonald's.
Well, McDonald's too well last year.
But the profits come at a price.
Now they've raised my rate to 19.98, and I have not been late ever.
There are irritated, unhappy, dissatisfied customers in this industry.
They are the new loan sharks in America.
I certainly didn't imagine that someday we might have ended up creating a Frankenstein.
Frankenstein? What do you mean, Frankenstein?
Tonight, Frontline correspondent Lowell Bergman and the New York Times investigate the secrets of your credit card. This may seem an unlikely place to begin the modern history of the credit card. More than 1,000 miles from Wall Street and the paneled halls of the Federal Reserve in Washington. But this is where the credit card business first began to really take off. This is Sioux Falls, South Dakota, a modest town of 140,000, known for its cattle auctions and meatpacking industry. It's a town which boasts a huge post office, big enough to service a city several times its size. Every day, millions of pieces of mail pass through here. And from here, millions of credit card solicitations and bills are sent to mailboxes across America. And billions of dollars in credit card payments come in from around the world. Today, Sioux Falls is one of the major credit card processing centers in the country. It all happened in Sioux Falls because a quarter of a century ago, times were hard in South Dakota. There was a nationwide recession with double-digit inflation. Money was very tight. South Dakota banks were issuing very few mortgages or loans of any kind.
Interest rates were going into orbit. They were climbing all the time.
So Bill Janklow was then the governor of South Dakota.
When I came to the governor's office, South Dakota had very tight historical laws on what you could charge to borrow. In other words, there was one interest rate by law that they could charge for new cars, another one for used cars. It was highly regulated what interest rates people could pay. What I'm trying to say is we may have a law that said you could charge 9%, but money cost 11%, so banks weren't loaning money.
To get the banks to issue loans, South Dakota decided to eliminate its historic cap on interest rates, known as a usury law.
We had actually changed some of our laws in 79, and we had previously introduced legislation and passed legislation, or were passing legislation, to lift the ceilings on usury so we could free up and get capital in South Dakota.